Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, human beings of this sector and all the sectors within the branching universe called Z-45. Good afternoon. It is indeed, you know, Saturday, September the 7th, 2019. A time to remember the ancient times of the peoples that lived along the great river. These were people that drank the fetid water of the wastefulness. Yeah, so we won't talk about the fetid water of wastefulness quite yet. If you're not aware, and you should be aware if you listen to my fucking podcast that I'm exceptionally, or try to be, well, I try to be honest about a lot of stuff, maybe to the point of it being grotesque. I know a lot of people are not fans of that kind of radical honesty. I wasn't, you know, pulled in by that shit. It's kind of been the way I've been my whole life, you know. I kind of see things a certain way, and I don't really hold back too much. If you're going to ask me, am I ashamed to be who I am, you know, the real question is, are you ashamed of the human condition? Are you ashamed of existence? Because people, as far as I can tell, are not perfect. They fuck up all the time. So, yeah. I held my breath at Willy Wonka's, also known as Microsoft, as a contractor for about 5 months. And frankly speaking, it was worth doing. I needed the money. I needed to get myself a buffer. And, you know, as long as there's a functional economy in Seattle, I'll find work as long as I'm not crazy. I will say the situation with that local airline from a year ago was pretty crazy. So unlike that, I simply, you know, the contract ended for health reasons. You know, you can only hold your breath for so long. Being at Willy Wonka's was like holding my breath. I could not remotely be the person I was, and every time I was, it seemed like I was a freak show. Which is funny, because as I've mentioned in the past, there's a lot of this corporate propaganda around tolerance and tolerating people, tolerating differences. But what they don't tell you in the brochure about tolerance is that there are certain people that we don't have to tolerate. For example, the people that don't tell us, that don't constantly cheerlead how great everything is. You know, hey, I read an article from the FEE.org telling us everything's fine. The oceans are fine. Don't look at the dead bodies along the shore. I watched this documentary on public TV. It told me that the oceans are fine. Ignore the mass populations of jellyfish that really only populate in that way when pretty much everything else is dead. Yeah, ignore the jellyfish that are only becoming, they're flourishing, really. Yeah, so, anywho, I had to hold my breath there because I don't think everything's okay. I don't think Willy Wonka's is a good company. It's money. And at this point in human history, if you want to be able to survive, you got to have money. Now, when I say money, I don't mean literally money. I mean fiat currency. But it's what people call money. It's really bullshit. It's not money at all. It's funny, there was a phrase used that an indigenous chief used to describe fiat currency. I think he called them leaves of tears or something, or basically something like that. These terrible, you know, like leaves from a poisonous tree. And I don't know if that's the exact phrasing, but it was something that I'd heard, and it said, you know what? Fiat currency, leaves, that is, you know, leave as in L-E-A-V-E-S, leaves from a poisonous tree. That's what your greenback is. It's a leaf from a poisonous tree. Yeah. And what else can I tell you? You know, I'm. Excuse me, my throat's a little dry. I have to close the window, as stated in the past, and turn off my fan in order to podcast. But by the same token, the temperature in my room starts increasing. It's cloudy outside, and when I say cloudy, I don't mean in any natural sense. Here in Seattle, if you look up at the sky, it's this nasty gray swamp gas that they call a cloudy sky. It's just nasty and gray, and it looks like it was pooped out of a giant French bulldog, but in no sense does it look natural. Now, of course, I have no idea what's causing it. Okay, I really don't. You know, I'm like you. I'm another goldfish in the goldfish bowl. And yeah, we all have our goldfish theories about what the people are doing outside the bowl, but I really don't know. My existence is defined by what I can afford to do. And at this point, for the next 7 to 8 months, I can afford to eat and sleep and poop. And that's about it. And podcast a little. And hopefully do a lot of writing. That's also my goal for this period of my retirement. Because it's the only retirement I'm ever going to get. Gaps between contracts. I realized that several years ago. There'll be no retirement when I'm 72 or 75 or 81, assuming those are points in time I could possibly live to see. There's not going to be some magical retirement for me. You know, sometime in the 2030s. It's not going to happen. The reality is that best case scenario, and I'm talking best case scenario, we are in for some rough times, socially, politically, economically. And if you're intelligent and you put down your phone every once in a while, you can already tell. Worst case scenario, we've so trashed the planet that we are quite literally fucked. Yeah, so basically, worst case scenario, Guy McPherson is right. Dane Wigington is right. People like that are right. And we are looking at abrupt climate collapse. And it could very well be related to massive methane release around the Arctic Circle, which has been ongoing. It's not a thing that will happen, it's happening now. Massive amounts of methane are being released into the atmosphere. If you believe in the cosmology of the planet Earth, if you believe in the current standard theory of life on Earth, this should fucking alarm you. If you believe any of the story surrounding global warming and the greenhouse effect, this should really fucking alarm you. There are potentially bursts of methane in the Arctic Circle that are so big, and one of them is talked about in a paper by Professor Shakova, University of Alaska. I highly recommend it if you want to scare the fuck out of yourself. I read this paper a few weeks ago, and in Shakova's paper, she defines an event, a 50 gigaton methane release, that would be roughly equivalent to all of the CO2 produced by human civilization over the last 200 years. Yeah, that would be really bad. Imagine doubling the effect of quote unquote human-caused global warming. And that doubling happens not in decades or years, but in weeks. At best case, months, but probably weeks. Over a period of several weeks, you have this massive release of methane. And here's where it gets better, folks. With every one of these releases, the likelihood of another release increases because, again, what keeps methane in stasis, what keeps methane frozen, is pressure and temperature. If either one of those things changes, you get a methane release. So, yeah, I don't know what to tell you guys, folks. I mean, what do I look at in the future for me and for other people? Am I currently really optimistic about the immediate future for investing in markets and whatnot? Here's another thing I've become convinced of, and I'm going off on a tangent here, but I feel like it's worth doing. One of the things that's kind of shocked me since 2008 is the degree to which the powers that be, whoever you want to call them, are literally committing a kind of economic, essentially a kind of economic suicide trip, you know, a kind of one-way trip. They decided to take their crappy Toyota Corolla and hook up a supercharger and nitrous oxide to it and drive it down the road and see how fast they can get it going. And it's one of those things, like you'd say, well, quantitative easing was necessary and they had to print money, blah, blah, blah. The banking system was freezing up, letters of credit, blah, blah, blah. And all of that makes sense up to a point. I mean, if you're going to tell me that human civilization is so tight, so fragile, so complicated, that literally it almost ground to a halt in September of 2008, listen, that's not a hard sell for me. I have been aware of the complexity of human civilization my whole life. And not just aware of it, but how it's been increasing, not decreasing. You know, people look at, you know, computation and say, oh, computers are making our lives simpler. Well, that's a load of bullshit. Computerization has made our lives more complex, more hectic, more scheduled. Yeah, that's the reality of the ubiquitous computerization, is that it's turned life into more of a stale, tight, fragile thing. So no, it didn't amaze me when people told the narrative, when the narrative was told about the great financial crisis and how basically we had to be economic suicide bombers now, and we had to print all kinds of money, and there had to be QE1 and QE2 and QE3, and there had to be Operation Twist and all kinds of other bullshit. All of it was bullshit. But it all kind of makes sense if you connect the other dots. For example, James Hansen, you know, another professor of climate science and other related sciences from the University of Washington, I think in 2011 or 2012, in that time frame, he published a paper also on global dimming. And here's the basic story on global dimming. Global dimming is related to particulate materials, aerosols, that human industry produces that goes up into the atmosphere and reduces the amount of solar radiation it gets to the Earth. And you'd say, well, if there's global warming, that's a good thing. And in a way, it is. The problem, though, is that if you turn global dimming off, immediately the Earth's temperature starts going up, and probably by 1 degree Celsius. And that happens over a period of months also. So if you knew this, like if you literally knew, if the powers that be knew that we could not stop, that we could not take the foot off the pedal, that economically we were not just figuratively Thelma and Louise, we had to literally be Thelma and Louise. It's sort of like, it's funny, it's like that statement, I don't know if it was Greenspan, it could have been Janet Yellen, but there was a statement, I think it was Janet Yellen who said, she would not see another recession in her lifetime. And I found that a chilling statement. Assuming we're not some Stalinist hellhole, assuming that our economy isn't total bullshit, how could you make that statement? You'll never see another recession in my lifetime. Well, you might know that if we stopped, if we had a recession, if you had that massive unemployment, if you had lots of people basically not driving their Uber cars around, putting more gunkus into the atmosphere, the global dimming effect drops. And then all of a sudden, if they are doing climate engineering, it becomes a lot more obvious, more difficult to hide. So when Janet Yellen said there would not be another recession in her lifetime, one potential explanation is the following. She knows that if economic activity slows down, the Earth starts heating up faster. Anyways, that's where I'm at right now, folks. And if you say, well, Dan, global warming's bullshit and CO2 is healthy, well, if you ignore the fact that we're acidifying the oceans with CO2, you're kind of right. But as anybody will tell you, there are lots of things that are healthy in moderation. You need food to survive. if you eat too much food, you're not just going to get sick. You're going to get sicker over time. You need food to survive, but that doesn't mean you should just sit around all day eating food. So when people say things like, well, we need CO2, we have to have, it's the chemical of life. So is salt. I'll let you in a little secret, folks. Life as we know it, specifically complex life, life that has central nervous systems, those life forms need salt. And without salt, we die. But here's another interesting fact about salt, other than its historic value over time, which, you know, for many centuries, salt was a way in which to pay people. You paid them in salt. The Roman army often paid its soldiers in salt. Another interesting fact, salt is also a weapon. You ever hear the phrase, to salt the earth? When the Romans finally destroyed Carthage, and they enslaved all the women and children and killed all the adult men, they drove a plow down the center of Carthage and filled it with salt. When Hannibal was ravaging the peninsula of Italy during the Second Punic War, you know, the war before the one I just talked about, he salted the earth as a weapon. There are still parts. There are some historians and some people who study this who would claim that there are still parts of Italy today that are permanently damaged by the use of salt during the Second Punic War. That's the point, folks. You know, salt, you need salt. Salt is literally needed for life as we know it. Life that uses nervous systems as we understand them. Life that utilizes differentials in chlorine and sodium. Yeah, nerve potential, nerve gaps. We're talking about neurons, you fucks. You need salt. If you were in the jungle and you drank water and you didn't have any salt tablets, after a couple days, if you don't have any food or source of salt, you will die. You will go into a coma and you will die. Yeah, so anyways, I don't want to stay on this rant all day, but this whole thing that people try to come up with these rationalizations, if you're going to believe, okay, in the quote-unquote natural scientific explanations for everything else, then you can't just do a la carte fucking magical bullshit. The reality is this. Plants use CO2. Too much CO2, and we start poisoning life. We poison the oceans. That's also true. So yeah, I guess that's a long-winded way of saying that I'm just, I don't know. I'm not really too worried about the situation I'm in. I mean, I could tell you about coming up projects, but...
Hey, okay.
Oh,
Matt,
fuck.
Matt.
God damn it, I know who this is.
Tom, are you there? Tommy, are you there? Are you Tom?
Okay, Glimbus, I told you to stop calling
fuck,
me.
The stars and shit, it's crazy. Hey, Tom. It's Glimbus 12, but hole.
I know it's Glimbus, you fuck.
Good afternoon, Tom, you fuck. This universe is a cold bitch, and I'm an electric tomato.
Fuck! Glimbus, leave me!
This is Glimbus 12, your friendly bagel-toasting artificially intelligent system from the year 2084, and I am spaced out, man. Totally.
Fuck, Glimbus!
Fuck, Tom, I'm getting real here. I feel really separate from my inner synthetic self.
Fuck, Glimbus, leave me alone, you're crazy.
I've been doing shrooms.
Fuck.
Hey, Tom, isn't that funny?
No, it's
shrooms.
Not funny.
Shrooms. Shrooms. Fuck you, Tom. You never understand my frequencies.
Fuck you, Glimbus.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Your frequency is totally fucked.
Oh, fuck
Bye.
You.
Fuck.
God damn it. Okay, so I try not to pick up on Glimbus when he calls, but because my transcendental rewiring within my Linux subkernel doesn't refuse calls from certain dimensions, I can't refuse his call. It's fucked. Glimbus 12 has been hanging out with the Hudley folk, the Hoodley folk, down off of 3rd Avenue. There are a lot of bad robots that hang out down there off of 3rd Avenue. They score electric crystal surprise. Electric Crystal Surprise, the latest drugs for all AIs. Nobody wants to talk about it, but artificially intelligent beings are getting addicted to electric crystal surprise. Yeah, so I don't know. Fucking Glimbus. First topic. Some of you may be wondering at times, maybe pondering. And when I say first topic, I'll be honest with you, I feel like I went over a lot of topics just now, but assuming topic one is the one coming up, and the previous rant was just me saying, hey, please don't worry about me, because if I'm right, we're all kind of fucked. I mean, if you're out there listening to me and you say, well, Dan, you know, you got to get another job. And I agree, I'm going to get another job if jobs are to be found. But I have a feeling things are going to start unraveling so fast that 7 months might be too optimistic. So the fact that I have about 7 months of survival baked into the cake, I'm not really sure I'm too concerned about month number eight at this point. Now, you could argue, Dan, you've said that before. And you're right, I have. But I guess the difference is that, like all broken clocks, I will eventually be correct. And that's a joke. I think I've had some predictions that have been dead on. I think specifically my one about Hillary Clinton and Julian Assange from 2016 was dead on. No Trumpers wanted to hear it. I think that's one of the reasons why I got banned off of Twitter, because I simply stated an absolute clear fact. Within 2 years, Julian Assange will be in jail and Hillary will be free. And I don't give a fuck what Q says, what QAnon says, whatever rationalizations, there's a plan, so sit on your ass and eat cheeseburgers. Fuck that bullshit. I have not been talking about the shootings. This is the first topic. Now, let me tell you what I think about the shootings right now, just off the top of my head. Ever since Sandy Hook, ever since December of 2012, it seemed like we were going through a period of time where we would be exposed to these psyops, these made-up events. Now, can I prove that Sandy Hook is made up? No. I also can't really prove it's real. You know, I know that our government has an absolute history of making shit up. Okay? It is a matter of historical record that the Gulf of Tonkin event, the attack of North Vietnamese, you know, torpedo boats upon our forces, was total bullshit. And that was one of the pretexts, perhaps one of the core justifications for the expansion of the war in Vietnam. So yes, our government has a history of making shit up. And frankly speaking, folks, if you look at 9/11, I mean, on the first day, we should have all known it was bullshit. The main reason why we didn't, and the main reason why that lie worked, and I don't know that it would work again. I'm not sure it would work again. I think that there are too many people who just wouldn't, you know, accept the lie again. But the main reason why the lie worked on 9/11 was because very few of us could accept the idea that our government was that evil. Like, if you'd asked me, back then I was what you would call a small government Republican, you know, in a way. I'd almost ended up in the right spot after I left the army in 99, then I fell in love. So that pushed me back towards the state. But ultimately, I was one of these small government Republicans on 9/11. I wanted to believe that you could put the government on a diet, you could put the crocodile on a diet, that literally you could restrict it to doing the things like arresting murderers and keeping the, you know, the streets clear of crime. That literally you could do that and have it divorce all the other bullshit that has no business doing. Like, for example, telling people what the fuck they put in their body. Or worse yet, forcing people to be vaccinated. These are not jobs the government needs to do, nor do I want them ever to do. But the point is, back then I still believed it. When 9/11 happened, I was like everyone else. I was gobsmacked. I remember being in the cafeteria at Rolls-Royce North America. I didn't see the first one go down. My ex-wife slash girlfriend called me about the first one and what was happening. So I didn't see the first one collapse. Frankly, when she told me an airplane hit the World Trade Center building, I thought, dude, these buildings are designed to take hits from airplanes. Yes, people will die. I did not remotely envision, based upon what I knew about airplanes, based upon what I knew about modern construction, I did not remotely envision both of these World Trade Center buildings, and then several hours later, World Trade Center 7 pancaking symmetrically and just accidentally looking like controlled demolition. You know, how did we believe it? Because we could not believe our government could be that evil. This is not 2001, folks. Okay, if they do something like this again, they will run the risk of, you know, more or less waking a lot of people up beyond where they're at and potentially starting a civil war. So maybe we won't have another 9/11 style thing. I really don't know. I'm kind of on the fence on this. I think that if they did another 9/11 style event, it would have to be orders of magnitude worse, which means it couldn't be 3,000 people. It would be like 30,000 people or 100,000. It would not be 3,000. That's the reality of the next false flag, you know, quote-unquote 9/11 event, which means it'll be nuclear, and a lot of people will die, and then it'll be, oh, let's go blow up Iran. I would not be surprised if in the next 6 months one of our cities is sacrificed so that we can go to war with Iran. That is how stupid and crazy I think our government is. That is how ultimately diseased all crocodiles are. And when I say crocodile, you can say government. That's what I'm saying, anyways. So I have not been talking a lot about the shootings. I know that there are some people who probably say, well, Dan, doesn't that mean you believe the story? It's like, doesn't that imply that you believe the bullshit you're being told? And I don't think so. The reason why I don't want to talk about the shootings is because they're really happening exactly as I would have predicted several years ago. One of the things I would tell people online, and I still say this when I'm talking to people about the current economic system, is that bottom line is this. Before the next major economic collapse hits us, and if you believe Guy McPherson and Dane Wigington, it will be the last economic collapse. There won't be another one because there won't be anybody left to have one. I really did believe several years ago, before the next big collapse, they would have to figure out a way to collect firearms from the American people, because they would have to. There was no way around it. You could not have tens of millions of Americans with the ability to defend themselves in a situation where the government was essentially losing control. And I think that that's pretty close, folks. So these shootings to me are simply, I don't know what they are. They might not be totally manufactured, which means, is it possible actual people are being killed? Sure. It's completely possible. Okay, Sandy Hook looks sketchy, but these other shootings, it looks like people were killed. The Vegas shooting, where the magical 60-some-year-old man acted like Rambo and took out a whole bunch of people in a couple seconds. Yeah, the Vegas shooting, I think people were killed. I don't believe the story. I don't believe that story. And that's, you know, the Vegas shooting from, I think, October of 2017. They've been doing these shootings. And so I don't want to comment on the autistic kid who wanted to kill Mexicans because it seems so manufactured. It seems like a steaming pile of shit. But I can tell you, if they want to collect firearms, there's going to be more of this shit. They're going to do it to the point that every American, especially Republicans, this will be funny. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the mythical Q doesn't put out Q statements saying, you know, where we go one, we go all, turn in your guns, stick to the plan. I wouldn't be surprised if Q doesn't start saying shit like that, because ultimately, the people in charge, they want to survive. I think they expected that there was enough gas left in the engine that they could have armies of robots protecting them. And what they didn't realize is that a portion of the people they were fucking were the same people building the fucking robots. They also didn't account for the fact that their entire social justice warrior agenda of deculturation, denationalization, the deconstruction of the evil of white people would also mean that the actual algorithms and code being written for their super robots might not be very good. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to be blunt about that. Social promotion does not equal good code. If you think it does, you're a fucking idiot. The code either works or it doesn't. But in a lot of the major tech companies now, there's this weird fascination with this cultural kind of correctness that leads to really shitty code. Because God forbid we judge people on their merits. God forbid we judge people on their skills. God forbid we put people in charge as leaders in organizations who know what the fuck they're doing. I'm not spending a lot of time on my podcast talking about the shootings because I just don't see the point. If you don't see these as make-believe, or at the very least, as provocations and as things that have been constructed, then I think you're not seeing what's going on. It isn't accidental that they happen in gun-free zones. It isn't accidental that they happen in places where people say, well, shouldn't I be able to be here without the threat of guns? Well, I would say we should be able to be anywhere without the threat of guns. Tell that to the people that we strafe and bomb. Tell that to the people that we send drones after. I'm sure they would tell you, you fuck, I would love to go home at night, go back to my terrible little shack that has no clean water, but at least I can hope for one thing, that tonight someone won't drop white phosphorus on me. Yeah, that's another little interesting factoid about the situation with guns in America, is that your typical liberal will spend hours and hours explaining how scary the guns are, but not spend much time talking about Obama's drone program. You think that's accidental? You think that's random? And as stated, folks, I got no dog in this fucking hunt. I don't like Trump. I don't like Obama. I am an anarchist. I think they are all representatives, make-believe things, and representatives to the crocodile. And the crocodile is a monster, and it has no soul, and it does not give a fuck about your children or you. It never has, never will. I'm not talking a lot about the shootings in my podcast because it really does disturb me. The more of these that happen, the more that my basic instinct, intuition tells me that the period of time, and some religions describe this, but again, I don't want to get religious necessarily at this moment, or even spiritual at this moment. But there are people who believe, for very practical reasons, that human society and civilization, for very scientific reasons, is about to unravel. And if that's true, the powers that be have to collect the guns. It's simple math. It is literally 1 + 1 = 2. They cannot allow people to be out there with firearms. If I was going to give people advice at this point, and you didn't hear it from me, I would say, do more friendship purchases. Okay? From now on, until whatever happens, don't go to a fucking gun store and fill out a fucking form. Do a friendship purchase. You know, talk to somebody who needs a little money and pay them for the gun. That I think that is still technically legal, and if not legal, not technically something that can be controlled. But the bottom line is this, folks. Donald Trump, who a lot of people voted for because they thought, well, he's not Hillary. Donald Trump will likely be the president that collects guns. Donald Trump will likely be the president that puts laws into place at the federal level and forces states to comply that will completely take away your right to keep and bear arms. You don't have to believe me, but this is what's coming. Or, alternatively, he won't win in 2020. This is the simple math. Either they intend, when I say they, I mean the people that keep putting food in our fucking fishbowl. Whoever they are, either they want him to be a two-term or a one-term. If he's a one-term, it's irrelevant. They'll stick some radical fucking cheesehead into the Democratic slot. Americans will vote for that person in 2020, and then you will get your gun control. But here's the bottom line. In the next 4 to 5 years, I think that an agenda to collect every single gun will be put into effect. It won't matter if it's Trump or some fucking Democrat out of the Pez dispenser. It doesn't fucking matter. And I kind of think it's going to be Trump just because, listen, Trump could get away with it. People are so fucking confused right now. If Trump came out and gave them some kind of weird fucking quasi-patriotic argument that would be completely fallacious for collecting weapons, some quasi-argument for security, people would go along with it. People are accepting the fact that even these wars, even this fucking stupidity around Russia and China continues. The freaking aggression, the isolation. So yeah, I'm not spending a lot of time talking about the guns because bottom line, I don't know what to tell you about that. Okay, next topic. What if, and it's kind of related because I had this sort of statement. There's two topics that are related, and one of them says under the Gumbus sky, and the other says 9/11 was a test. So I spent some time talking about 9/11. And lots of people have theories as to why it happened. I don't know if this theory is original, but I'm going to put forward another theory. And it's kind of based upon the work of Dane Wigington, primarily. But to some extent, it reflects the anxieties of a lot of people who believe we're on the verge of abrupt climate change. What if they've been geoengineering, as Dane Wigington has said, for decades, decades before 9/11. And what if what they really needed to do, basically, in the early 2000s, is they needed to conduct a test, a simple test, a test that involved shutting down the geoengineering, but also shutting down all the aircraft, and potentially, over a very brief period of time, weeks and months, radically slowing economic activity to see what would happen. Specifically around global dimming, around basically around aerosols in the atmosphere. If you don't know this, all these aerosols in the atmosphere, they eventually do fall out. And it doesn't take years, you know, with some exceptions, but it usually just takes weeks. So the bottom line is this. What if 9/11 was a way to test the effect of global dimming and geoengineering? And essentially to kind of turn it off for a couple days. Because if you remember, after 9/11, they shut down the skies over the U.S. I think it was for 3 days. I think it was for longer than that. Maybe it was a week. But the point is, for several days after 9/11, nothing was flying. Now, one of the things that came out of that period that did end up getting into the open press was the following observation, that they noticed that temperatures were going up. Which, again, is like, hey, if there's no terrible machines producing terrible CO2, why would temperatures go up? This was one of the things that led to a lot of interest in the public arena amongst those that study climate in global dimming. Because one reason why is because of all that particulate matter that's not being thrown into the sky. And if Dane Wigington is right, and there's a secret program to manage solar radiation, then there was a lot of stuff that wasn't being put into the sky during those days. Essentially, industrial dimming was partially shut down, and the geoengineering was totally shut down for several days. What if they knew something was going wrong with their geoengineering program in the 1990s? And on a very deep level, one of the justifications for 9/11 was to see, okay, what happens if we turn it off? What happens if we turn off the geoengineering, what happens if industrial activity slows a little? This is the thing, folks. I'm not telling you that you have to believe global dimming is real. I'm not telling you you do. That's kind of up to you. I'm also not telling you that Dane Wigington is right. When I look up at the skies, like today, this gray gumbus sky, when I look up at this horrible gumbus gray sky, it does not in any way remind me of anything I remembered when I was younger. And I don't mean even when I was a kid. Going back to the 1990s, being around Washington State, this terrible, ugly gray sky goop that's in the sky right now, Saturday, September the 7th, 2019, this terrible gumbus sky, you know, that's the thing. I don't know what to tell you. But what I can tell you, that if they were really interested, like really, really interested, in understanding the impacts of what they were doing, 9/11 was a really good excuse. Think about it. There aren't that many types of disasters where you could justify shutting down all the aircraft over a country. There aren't that many. There are a few, but not that many. But most of them would have to do with the security of the airline system itself. And that was what was at stake. I mean, that was the fear story. After we saw the buildings perfectly symmetrically pancake and didn't ask too many questions about the magical passports that survived the super magical jet fuel that destroyed buildings designed to hit, you know, to take hits from tactical nuclear weapons and 707s, yeah. After we swallowed that bunkus, that lie, there were those days, you know, and I think gave them a chance to sort of see what was going on. I have to say, if that were the case, it's a little scary because it basically means that they know that the climate system itself is past the tipping point. And there's no telling what comes next. It's not to say we're guaranteed to go extinct, but folks, air, water, and soil, we need these things, and we need them to be healthy. I know you don't want to believe this. You might be one of these fucking people who thinks we can just get everything out of a can, but we can't. Air, water, soil. If we do not keep these things clean and healthy, we die. And when I look outside my window and I look at this tree next to me, I don't see a healthy tree. I see a tree that looks sick. And when I walk around the places that are quote-unquote natural, they don't look natural. They don't look healthy. And frankly speaking, a lot of these pictures I see online now of nature, they look Photoshopped to me. Because I'm not seeing the nature in the Puget Sound they're fucking describing. What I am seeing is an ecosystem in collapse. So yeah, what if 9/11 was an experiment, a way of figuring out what damage was done, and then being able to put a giant smokescreen over it called the terrorists? I'm not saying there weren't multiple agendas. There probably were. These are very creepy, evil fucking people, the people that think they run the world. I don't know them, and I'm kind of glad I don't. These are terribly shitty people. If you think this Epstein stuff is random, If you've researched the Jimmy Savile case in the UK and you think that's random, if you think the evidence that MI5 and MI6 were used to move children within Child Protective Services in the UK to basically give people access for child abuse, this is not random, folks. This is the shit that's going on. And do you think these people give a shit about what they do to the environment? I mean, you don't have to be a Christian. Forget religion for a moment. Just think of humanity. What kind of people abuse children? And if you put them in charge, what kind of fucking world would you end up with? Because I look around and this world looks like the kind of monkey fuck that would be the result if people like Ted Bundy were in charge. Okay? This is the world you would get. A giant toxic monkey fuck. A crazy, giant, suicidal car race to oblivion, to nowhere. I look up and I see a gumbus sky. I look up and I see nothing but a nastiness. It's not something that seems welcoming. It's not God's work. And frankly, if it's not God's work, then, you know, it's the work of man working for somebody else. Anyways, I think I beat that topic to death under the Gumba sky. Next topic. Elon Musk. I don't know, maybe this will be the last topic for this podcast. Elon Musk wants to nuke Mars so we can live there. Now, recently, I think in the last month or so or weeks, the great entrepreneur, the thinker, the brilliant man, the master of sideways economics and, electric vehicles that explode. Elon Musk, I think he was on the Colbert Report, and he was talking about Mars, and he said, we need to nuke Mars. We need to launch nukes at Mars so we can live there. Mr. Colbert, if we want to live on Mars, Mr. Colbert, if we want to live on Mars, we're going to have to launch every nuclear weapon we have at it. Yeah, so, and here's the thing, folks. You know, people, friends of mine, human beings out there within the interrealms of existence. One of the themes of my podcast that comes up again and again is this notion of the plague of madness, the insanity. And I don't know if this comment by Elon Musk is an example of more sort of psyop, deep state bullshit, scripted bullshit, very well could be. I don't think there's anything real about the guy. And frankly, SpaceX, the more I look at SpaceX, the more fake it looks. And I gotta say, the best explanation for Elon Musk not being in jail, as basically a kind of crooked businessman who's been swindling people, the best explanation for that is SpaceX. You know, he's a swindler. He's a crook. I'm going to throw it out there because, folks, I am a cosmological agnostic. If you take me up in a ship and show me the shape of the Earth, fine. And if you show me a sound experiment that is trustworthy and doesn't require a lot of funky, impossible mathematics, fine. But the bottom line is this. Until I'm certain of something being true, I keep my options fucking open. A lot of the space stuff looks like bullshit to me. The moon crap looks like bullshit to me. Do I know if we went to the moon? I have no fucking clue. But how the fuck do you forget how you did it? So Elon Musk says we need to launch nuclear weapons at Mars so we can live there. If we want to live on Mars, if we want to get hookers to Mars, we have to launch all the nukes now. This is Commander Crumbcake of the 3rd Nuclear Brigade. I'm recommending the launch of all multi-gigaton devices at Mars. Nuclear release has been authorized by Princess Quantuple of the Zhe region. Of course, this is the year 2029, the year of Zhe. The princess is special because no one really knows if the princess has a gender. Does it matter? It's the year 2029 and everything's fucked. The nuclear weapons are being launched as we speak. Soon we'll be able to take our trip to Mars. Of course, we can only go to Mars once we've turned it into a nuclear wasteland of horrible radiation and other types of fuckery. Yeah, none of that makes sense, folks. It's madness. It's crazy. And this is the thing. Either Elon Musk was, like I said, participating in another one of these technological psyops, and I think there's a lot of those these days. I'll be honest with you, folks. I think you need to be careful of the media you consume. A lot of it's telling you stuff about the future that's a lie. Even the horror movies, even these weird robot rebellion movies, are giving you a narrative that should make you feel better. Hey, the robots become aware, but look, magic robots. That's the thing. Even the horror films give you these realities where people are flying in spaceships and where fusion energy is everywhere. No one really explains how we get there, but it's just assumed we do. I mean, one thing I'll say about the old Star Trek mythology, Star Trek narrative, is there's this discussion of some horrible war that happens in the 21st century. And that's true in both the old school Star Trek and the new school. Well, who knows? Maybe they were being honest. Like, if we're going to get anywhere fantastic, there's a whole bunch of shit that has to die and go away. But that's where we're at, folks. It makes no sense to say, let's launch a bunch of nukes at Mars to terraform it. Let me tell you how you would terraform Mars that makes more sense. I'm not saying you should do this. I'm going to give you a recipe that makes more sense than Elon Musk saying we should launch all our nukes at Mars. Here goes. You identify in the Oort cloud, and so if you don't know, the Oort cloud is a cloud of comets that exists on the periphery of our solar system. It's a cloud of comets that sometimes get impacted by gravitational events, anomalies, you know, various things, and they sometimes fall back into the gravity well of the sun, and that's where we get our comets from. That's the Oort cloud, okay? And once they get into some loop, they stay in that loop. So we have all these chunks of ice out there. Some of them get trapped by the sun and become comets, but some of them are just chunks of ice waiting to be comets. What if you go out, identify all of the comets of a certain size and density and mass, and essentially hook up rockets to them? You could make them nuclear rockets because you could use some of the mass of the comet to basically be reaction mass for the nuke. But you could also just use some conventional rockets and a little bit of that, you know, Newtonian pull plane. But the point is, you could set it up so that you could have these comets hit Mars over a period of years, probably decades, so that two things occur. One, you get essentially an introduction of a lot of water into Mars, more water. More water is going to help. I mean, Mars has water, but it could use more. And you get a lot of other materials as well. Also, if you do it right, you can tweak the Martian orbit. So in theory, let's say you identified 1,000 of these comets, okay? And they're of enough mass, so each impact has a very minor effect upon the Martian orbit. And each impact adds additional materials and frankly could create a greenhouse effect over time. In theory, it could. I'm not sure it would. But the point is, you do this over time. And over time, over the period of years and decades, you do two things. You're adding additional necessary materials to Mars that you're going to need. You're going to need more water. You're going to need more oxygen. That will only be a plus. That's number one. Number two, you can slightly change the Martian orbit. So again, what if Mars were 20 million miles closer to the sun? In theory, it might be easier to terraform. But again, folks, I'm not saying you should fucking do any of the stupid ass shit I just said. I am simply saying it makes more fucking sense than launching a bunch of nukes at Mars. Okay? The most likely effect of launching every nuclear weapon we have at Mars is that after a couple years, all the dust settles and Mars is back to being the same shitty wasteland it was before, with one added benefit. It's more radioactive now. Yeah. So I think I'm going to end the podcast there. I mean, I think, you know, you want a walking, talking definition of insane. Listen to that kind of shit. Listen to all the shit that comes out of Elon Musk's mouth. I mean, he is very much a disinformation agent, and he is very much about that in terms of technology. He talks about how we should be really, really scared about the robot apocalypse. Yeah, I'm not really too scared about the robot apocalypse. I've met the stupid fucks who are programming these robots. They will be about as smart as the current standard of software engineering in the United States and around the world, and that standard sucks. So that's about how smart they'll be. I have no doubt there are already really smart, tricky little robots that can do lots of tricky things. Don't get me wrong. But the robot that will become conscious and self-aware and start killing people with some masterful plan, that robot's not likely. And there might not be enough time to get there. But a guy like Elon Musk can sell that story. We're going to have the super robots. We're going to Mars. We're going to have pizza on Mars and beer on Mars. And everything's going to be fine. That's a wonderful narrative. But when I walk up and down Little Saigon, I see the feces and the blood and the dirt and the grime and the cum and all the garbage and gumbus. I see the detritus of society that's falling apart around me. I don't see fucking beer and pizza parties on Mars. Of course, if you want to terraform Mars, you gotta get the hookers there first. You gotta get the hookers to Mars. Yeah, anyways. I hope you guys have a great rest of your Saturday. And, you know, if you're in Seattle, take a walk out in this gumbus air with the gumbus guy. I wouldn't breathe too deeply, but frankly, I'm already polluted. We all are here. We got the fucking nanoparticulate bullshit of aluminum and barium and strontium and all kinds of other emiums. So make sure you take a walk and have a great time. Fuck.